again.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really glad
to be able to assemble with you this morning and be able to study from God's Word with you. It was a bit of a challenge. Just yesterday, I was kind of tossing around the idea of throwing the idea I had for my lesson today, because there are parts of it that are a little bit challenging, and I didn't know if maybe I should focus on something a little bit more, for lack of a better term, easily positive. But I kept coming back to this topic, because it's something that I've been studying about a lot recently. By recently, I mean about the last 6 months, and have really had on my mind. Before we start, I do want to issue a content warning. This lesson is going to contain some difficult topics, including discussion of depression, anxiety, and even suicide. If these topics have the potential to trigger you, and you need to step out for a minute, please feel welcome to do so. But let's begin by looking at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. It says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look out, not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." In this passage, Paul explains that some of the ways we can be Christ-like include rejecting selfishness to put on humility, regarding others as being more important than ourselves, and looking after others' interests before our own. It's easy to look out for someone else's interests when those burdens are visible. If I see you with a cast on your arm or walking with a cane or walker, if I see those things, I can see to hold a door for you. If I see your car is pouring steam, I know you need assistance. I might be the wrong person to give you assistance, but I can still see you have a burden that needs bearing. Where this gets harder is when your burdens, when your struggles are invisible to me. That's when we need to be the most humble. And some of those invisible struggles include mental disorders. Please understand, this is a large and complex topic, and I will by no means be able this morning to give it all of the attention it deserves, nor am I a mental health professional. What I hope to accomplish is to raise our awareness of the issue, give us a solid Christ-centered perspective, and give us some small practical takeaways. From there, I hope you will be willing to delve deeper on your own. and learn how you can be a better support for brothers and sisters who might be struggling with these types of issues. Additionally, there's also an upcoming gospel meeting that's posted in the back of our building that's actually going to be a deeper dive into this topic, Lord willing that that gospel meeting can proceed as scheduled. Before we go any further, let's define what a mental disorder is. A mental disorder, a mental illness, is a behavioral or psychological pattern that regularly causes significant distress or impairs your daily life. It's more than an inconvenience. And sometimes we use our language in a way that downplays the seriousness of a mental disorder. You know, we might start alphabetizing our books we have at home and say to someone, oh, I am so OCD, or I'm dusting. Or we might say something like, I'm just feeling so depressed, when really we're just feeling sad. We use these terms without fully understanding the impact of what they mean to someone who truly has that condition. Mental disorders significantly impact the lives of those who have them. Obsessive compulsive disorder, social anxiety, schizophrenia, dementia, depression, and others. These can be debilitating conditions, every bit as severe as chronic arthritis, asthma, diabetes, or any other chronic condition, and they deserve to be treated with the same level of care and concern as any physical condition. If we understand the reality of mental disorders, then we can go a long way in removing the stigma surrounding mental health topics. We should no more criticize someone seeking help for their anxiety disorder than we would criticize someone purchasing insulin. It's not a sign of faithlessness. Faith in Christ does not make you immune to mental illness any more than it makes you immune to, well, the coronavirus. Over the past several years, we've seen a large number of high-profile tragedies attached to mental health challenges. Think of celebrities like Robin Williams, Anthony Bourdain, Margot Kidder, designer Kate Spade. The list could go on and on of beloved celebrities who have lost their battle with mental illness. Outside of high-profile deaths such as these, Veterans Affairs estimates that roughly 6,000 veterans die by suicide per year. And the National Institute of Mental Health says suicide claims twice as many lives in any given year than homicides. It is the second leading cause of death for people under the age of 35. And it affects people who follow Christ. I'm going to share some facts now that were compiled by Lifeway Research in 2018. From their survey, they learned that 23% of preachers acknowledge experiencing or struggling with mental illness. Yet 66% of congregations never or seldom address mental health from the pulpit. 60% of Christians who have mental disorders would like their congregations to speak more openly about the topic. And 32% of Christians know someone who has died by suicide. I know this is uncomfortable, but we need to understand the reality of the situation. While we fellow Christians cannot cure someone of a mental illness, we can provide a supportive and loving church family that helps bear up these challenges. Now, we have a chance to get back into Scripture on this issue. While the Bible has little to say directly on the topic of mental disabilities, there are some principles we can glean to better equip us to be supportive members one of another. Remember that it takes a lot of trust and vulnerability for someone to open up about a mental disorder. Value that trust. Value that trust and respect that vulnerability. First, let's talk about some habits to avoid. And we're going to start in Proverbs 18. Join me in Proverbs 18, verse 2. And then we're going to skip down to verses 13 through 15. So Proverbs 18, 2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing personal opinion." And then starting in verse 13, "If one gives answer before hearing, it is folly and shame. The human spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? An intelligent mind acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Too often, we listen to respond rather than listen to understand. We're immediately thinking of what am I going to say next? And in the process, we start to block out what the other person is really saying, because we've already formed what we think they're saying. We cannot understand someone when we do that. So here's some things that we should really try to avoid. First of all, avoid trying to fix things right there. Chances are, if you're like me, and I know I am, you're not a mental health professional. While we can offer comfort and guidance, we don't necessarily have the knowledge and wisdom to take corrective measures. Lending an ear is better than lending uninformed advice. Along those same lines, we should try to avoid blindly quoting Scripture. Scripture is helpful. Scripture is essential. Scripture is necessary, but we must use it wisely. When someone opens up to you about their mental disorder, be more than a repository of memory verses. We sometimes even treat mental illness like it's sin when we do so. And I'm going to sidecar for a minute here, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. That we treat mental illness like it's sin. We might be tempted when someone confesses to us that they struggle with depression or an anxiety disorder to lean on passages like, "Don't be afraid," "Don't be anxious for tomorrow," "Rejoice in the Lord," and leave it at that. These passages are important foundations to our Christian attitudes, to our Christian perspectives, to our outlooks on life. And truthfully, many of us could do better actually living those passages. However, when we toss passages like these around someone struggling with their mental health, we can lead them to believe that their struggle is somehow sinful, that their illness is somehow displeasing to God. That's a moral or spiritual failing. These passages, like "Do not be anxious for tomorrow," these are about controlling our emotions and our attitudes. However, someone with a mental illness doesn't necessarily have that control. They might be able to mask it. Like, if you ever watched any interviews with Robin Williams while he was alive, did you get any indication from them that he suffered from depression? Now, he could mask it. And many people who do suffer from mental illness in one way or another mask it when they're in public. But that they can hide it doesn't mean they have a handle on it. We need to be willing to let each other unmask. That means we need to stop telling someone who has lost control of how they feel that those feelings are displeasing to God. Now back to our list, and I love you for listening. Let's also avoid minimizing their struggle. We do, as humans, have a tendency to downplay struggles that we have never experienced or that we don't personally understand. That I have never experienced something, or that I don't understand something, does not make it less real. And finally, avoid making it about yourself. Often we think we're relating to someone's struggles when we share struggles of our own right back to them. It feels like empathy. But to the other person, it can feel like a game of one-upmanship. Their struggle is not about you. So listen to those words from Proverbs. Resist your desire to speak without understanding, and seek knowledge and wisdom in these exchanges. In challenging conversations, we often put too much ownership on the one doing the sharing. Let's take ownership of how we listen and how we receive and how we respect the trust that someone else gives to us. Now let's turn this around. How can we be a help? Well, Galatians 6, 2 through 5 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads." Here Paul talks about personal accountability. We all have loads of our own to carry. But he also says that we should help shoulder one another's burdens. And this sharing of burdens, this fulfills the law of Christ. Later in the same chapter, Paul extols us to never grow weary of doing good for others. How does this apply to someone struggling with a mental disorder? Well, number one, let's be a safe space. Make sure the person sharing with you knows you will listen without criticism or ungodly judgment, which is exactly what Matthew 7 warns us against when Jesus says not to judge others by our own standards. Sometimes we have to be willing to weep with those who weep or just listen to those who need to share. And related to that, sometimes we just need to be quiet. Have you ever read of Job's friends? Well, in Job 2:13, it says that his friends sat with him for 7 days because they saw his suffering was very great. Those friends were at their best during those 7 days. Sometimes all we need to do is be present, to listen. We need to be available. One of the things we see time and again in Jesus is how he would make himself available to those that others would reject. During his life on earth, there was a lot of stigma around physical disability. If you had a life-afflicting physical disability, people around you assumed it was some kind of punishment of God and that you should be avoided. And you can see that, for example, in John chapter 9, when Jesus' own apostles ask him regarding a blind man, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" But Jesus offered safety and healing where others would reject. We should be an encouragement. Do use Scripture. Use it wisely. Use it to remind ourselves and each other of how we have a Savior who experienced the human condition. We have a Savior who went through the struggles and the challenges that we face and therefore can empathize with us. Remind each other that we have a Father who wants us to lay our burdens at his feet. And then we should embody our God. We should strive to be like that God who wants our burdens laid at his feet. We should work to be like Christ. So we should be as understanding and patient. We should pray for mental illness, the same way we pray for physical illness. And we should be present to help and support in times of trouble. Let's go back to Job chapter 2. If you've studied Job in your Bible classes before or on your own, have you ever really, really read the last little bit of chapter 2? Or does your mind skip directly to the part where the friends are, well, being less than helpful? So I want to read, starting in verse 11 here, and just finish up chapter 2. It's just a couple of verses. It says, "Now when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all this adversity that happened to him, each of them came from his home. They met together to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they looked from a distance, they could barely recognize him. They wept aloud. Each man tore his robe and threw dust into the air and on his head. Then they sat on the ground with him 7 days and nights. But no one spoke a word to him because they saw that his suffering was very intense." If we knew nothing else about Job's friends, if they weren't present for the rest of the book, then right here, we would see friends who absolutely embody what it means to bear someone else's burdens. They go out to Job. They go to where Job is to comfort him. They coordinate their efforts to get together and go be with Job. They weep with Job. They join in his pain, and they simply give him the gift of company for 7 days straight. Sometimes it's that simple to show someone else that they are safe and welcome as a brother or sister in Christ. I'd like to conclude with a message of hope for anyone facing mental illness. Brian read from us Psalm 34, verses 17 through 20, and I'd like to revisit that passage. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. We serve a God who has power over nature. And that includes the things we can't see. He hears us in our distress. He has counted our bones and wants to preserve us. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7 says we can cast our burdens on a God who cares about us personally. And Romans 8, verses 26 through 27, says the Holy Spirit even helps us when we don't know how to put our prayers into words. And he translates our needs to the Father in a way that goes beyond words. You have a God who wants to love and support you. You have a church family who wants to love and support you. Wherever you are in your struggle, Jesus Christ makes you enough. You are loved. You are an heir of grace. You are a worthy and valuable member of Christ's body. It may be that you need counseling or medication to regulate your symptoms, and that doesn't make you less faithful. Instead, let faith be a foundation that bolsters the other interventions you need. Let us all support one another in all of life's struggles, physical and psychological. Let's be the church, united and building one another up to withstand all that life can throw at us. Let's seek to understand one another, and let's put on Christ in bearing one another's burdens and looking out for each other's interests. If you would like to serve a God who is a refuge in your struggles, who knows you and wants to protect you, if you want to be part of a body of believers who will look out for your well-being, who will lift you up and support you and encourage you no matter the struggles you face, then I encourage you this morning to be baptized, to put Christ on, to wash away the old person, and move forward in a new life. If you have stumbled in some way and you need us to pick you up and help you move forward again, then let us know how we can help you. Let us know how we can bear your burdens. Because it's only by being together that we can attain our hope. Whatever your needs are, please feel open to share them as we stand and sing.